Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax. Terminix can help.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast.
If your home or business has pests, don't stress it.
Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deccant. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. Now, folks, you've heard us talk about Bitcoin before. Bitcoin is a specific sort of alternative currency or cryptocurrency, but it's not alone in that field. It's the most well-known of several different similar things like Ethereum or Dogecoin. Personal favorite of mine, these are popularly called crypto or coins. Unlike currency of previous eras, Bitcoin is not backed by any government or corporation. It's decentralized, meaning there is no issuing authority, no central banking system. Depending on which sources you ask, this is either one of the greatest revolutions, innovations in financial history, or it's a grift, or, well, first things first. Here are the facts. We want to give you a brief recap of how Bitcoin works, how blockchain works, but we're gonna just go high level because longtime listeners, you've heard us discuss this in depth in previous episodes, sometimes with the help of our pal, Jonathan Strickland.
Yeah, he was certainly the first person that I ever even heard about blockchain and cryptocurrency from many years ago.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. It runs on peer-to-peer. This is very important. It's a network that is peer-to-peer, like old school stuff that you used to do on the internet, probably, where somebody's computer is running part of the brain that's running the game you're playing. Or if you're, let's say, using LimeWire or something to share stuff across a network, that was a well-known peer-to-peer network. And as you said, Ben, the most important thing is that there's no centralized server that is running any of this stuff.
Yeah, if you're using Bitcoin, each user's computer is part of this larger network, what you could rightly call an ecosystem, and it shares the burden of generating Bitcoins and logging transactions. It's this decentralized nature that makes Bitcoin arguably impervious so far to things like government intervention, whether that is by monitoring the way you would monitor orthodox banking transactions or regulation. And it's the weird thing is, okay, so we're going to describe some things that may sound complicated, but if you are an end user, if you are like so many people getting into Bitcoin, a little dipping your toe in a little bit at a time, you'll find that it is astonishingly simple to do so. You get a Bitcoin wallet. This encrypts and maintains your Bitcoin balance on your computer, smartphone, or in the cloud. And this happens with any other version of cryptocurrency. Then you can use your bank account or a credit card, which I think is kind of dangerous, or another form of payment to get Bitcoins, to up your wallet, or for most people, realistically, a fraction of Bitcoins.
Can you use a credit card to buy securities, buy traditional stocks and bonds?
I wouldn't know. I'm an enemy of credit cards.
I just wonder. I mean, it seems dangerous. It seems like a slippery slope if you're not actually converting wealth, you know, into stocks. Then you're just gambling essentially with credit. You can't use a credit card to pay off another credit card.
To play the lottery,
right? Or to go to casinos.
So I would think probably there's some guideline with the FTC that doesn't allow you to buy stocks with credit cards. So that's not the case with crypto. You can buy it with credit cards, which is super slippery. And it's a little more complicated than some maybe more, you know, kind of technophobe type folks might be cut out for, because you do have to. You know, getting the wallet is one thing, but then also to get the Bitcoin, you have to transfer it to the wallet. Because if you keep it on an exchange, which is where you buy it, that leaves it more kind of susceptible to things. to all sorts of things. So if in the code, there's like a string of weird digits that are, you know, your key for transferring, you know, the purchase to your wallet. And if you get just one digit of that wrong, then it goes away into the ether, never to be seen again.
And you have to be careful with any financial decisions, because I like the way it was put earlier somewhere on the internet, probably Twitter. Somebody wrote to me at Bimble in HSW, or I found it somewhere, and they said, you know, if you let someone shenan, one thing's for sure, they're going to shenan again.
Sure are. Sort of fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice.
All can't be stuff. Fooled again.
No,
so this is relatively uncomplicated. There is a learning curve for people entering as end users. But before any of that happens, before Bitcoin can be transferred, can be spent, can be used at all, it has to be made. And this happens via a mining process. AKA a big reason that many of our gamer friends in the audience today still don't have a PS5 due to a chip shortage. This mining process uses computers. You get a mining app. It's free. They're out there. And mining requires the entire network of these, let's call them Bitcoin participant computers, to do essentially a ton of difficult math problems, a bunch of number crunching. And there's a set amount of work that these do. And when you reach that threshold of work, you get rewarded with Bitcoin. And in the early days, there would be people who were just at their houses, maybe setting up their own kind of computer networks that would just do this work, would just crunch these numbers and make them Bitcoin. And some of those people made quite a killing off of this. But, and I'll say the quiet part out loud, just with things like, with any quote-unquote disruptive industry like podcasting, pretty soon the big fish got involved. And now some people and some very powerful organizations have spent thousands, quite possibly millions of dollars making computers specifically to mine Bitcoin and nothing else. This became, and this is fair to call it such, this became a global arms race of sorts, a digital cutthroat arm race. One stat I found that I thought was pretty illuminating, shout out Illumination Global Unlimited. As of 2020,
about 2 years ago, a full 19% of the world's GPU, graphic processing unit, production went entirely to mining, not all crypto, but just Ethereum. And this was a huge, huge factor in the ongoing global computer chip shortage. That means that even if you never cared about crypto, if you never heard about it, had no plans to participate in it, you were still being affected in a very real and sometimes dangerous way.
To my understanding as well, the way mining works is these GPUs are the blockchain. They're part and parcel. They are verifying transactions by solving these complex, like puzzles, essentially, like really complex math problems. So in order for the blockchain to function, since it is decentralized, it's sort of like crowdsourcing SETI, the way SETI uses, people can combine all of their computer processors together in a way that allows them to participate in certain algorithms that are taking place, through an organization like SETI to monitor, space, et cetera. So when these people that are, putting forth all of this power in from their personal, property, solve these equations, they are rewarded essentially with a little bit of a Bitcoin, not like a whole Bitcoin. You got to do a gazillion of these to make any meaningful cash. Is that y'all's understanding as well?
That's correct. Yeah. The SETI crowdsourcing is not a bad comparison because, as we'll find, the rules of the game are set to evolve over time. Right now, just as a result of the Bitcoin kind of gold rush throughout four of what we'll call crypto winters, as a result of that gold rush, almost 170 distinct industries have been affected by the computer chip shortage. It can only make so many due to supply chain issues, even pre-pandemic. And the thing is that these chips can be used for all sorts of stuff that is not involved with Bitcoin. So you could argue that at a certain threshold, every time somebody is scooping up technology and dedicating it to mining Bitcoin, they're scooping it away from these other industries. Goldman Sachs specifically found 169 industries have been impacted. This can't go on forever, you might be thinking. And if so, if you're thinking that, you're on the money. Because here's how the rules change. There is a cap. There are only 21 million Bitcoins that can ever exist. And to create, manage this generation, the Bitcoin network adjusts the exact amount of work and number crunching required to make coins. So they adjust it such that the number of Bitcoins will rise at a steady predetermined rate. And it'll continue to do this, the reasoning goes, until the number of Bitcoins in circulation reaches that 21 million cap. Right now, that's projected to occur around 2140. So if you are hearing this in 2140, write to the show. Let us know if that ended up being correct. Is it complicated? Yeah, of course. But don't make a mistake. There was money to be made. So everyone, for a while, went absolutely nuts for this. They went bonkers and bananas. Your faithful correspondents, by the way, some of our friends included. As crypto's popularity skyrocketed, people began learning more about one of my favorite parts of the story. It's incredibly shady origin. And I think we have to talk about that. This is a little bit, here's where it gets crazy. But it is worth knowing if you're not aware of this previously. Matt, Noel, who made Bitcoin? Who invented it?
Satan.
Is that English for Satoshi Nakamoto? No. Final answer. No lifeline.
Yeah. By the way, we're never ever making it to 2140. No one is listening to this at 2140, guys. I have bad news. Civilization collapses in less than two decades. So
at the very least, but engulfed by the sun.
Sorry.
Who knows?
Not making it.
All right. Well, so I'll have to work with the AI versions of you guys. It's gonna make me sad.
Already in the works, buddy. they'll probably be really high quality by then.
Yeah, that's the thing. So our optimism versus pessimism versus what some would call realism aside, the truth is this, the identity of Bitcoin's creator is a huge mystery. The story really starts with a mystery. The phrase cryptocurrency, as Neil Stephenson as it may sound, it was not coined by him. The concept first comes out in 1998. A person named Wei Dai mentions this idea, pitches it on a mailing list for something called Cypherpunks, C-Y-P-H-E-R, punks. And Bitcoin's creator, who went by the identity or the persona Satoshi Nakamoto, in 2009, Satoshi publishes the first specification, like practical description of Bitcoin and proof of concept. And then later, toward the end of 2010, this identity, this persona, ghosts. It's gone. It's off the grid. And all we know really is that this person or people using this handle did create the idea, the practical application of it, and then did disappear. And we know that that name, that handle, is not their real name. Bitcoin.org, by the way, is low-key hilarious about this because they have to dispel a lot of fear, right? And they say this person, whom they identify as male, by the way, they say this person does not currently control Bitcoin, and that due to the nature of the open source tech, this is my favorite quote here, you can find it on Bitcoin.org, they say, quote, "The identity of Bitcoin's inventor is probably as relevant today as the identity of the person who invented paper." And we don't know who invented paper. That's the point they're making.
Well, it's mimetic, though. It's like a self-replicating system, you know, once it kind of gets off and running, right? At that point, it doesn't. It's like, who invented DNA? I mean, look at it, it's a silly comparison, obviously.
I think you just insert the word flash into that sentence. Invented flash paper.
Okay. Matt's got some hot takes, some flash hot takes. But it's true. I mean, like, at this point, it's kind of irrelevant. It'd be interesting to know. But would there be a reason, you think? I mean, I could think of many why that person would not come forward, because they probably don't want to be, don't want to have their spot blown up, essentially, you know, because it is something that's pretty controversial still. And I would imagine they've cashed out and they're probably living the yacht life at this point.
Yeah, quite possibly. If indeed it is a single organic individual. I mean, there are a couple of guesses we could make with, one, they could have been working out of school using some knowledge from their day job that might be considered proprietary, you know, that got Blake Lemoyne fired. Second, it could be an op. It could be a front. It could be a government organization. I'm completely secure in saying that because there's no proof otherwise. Anyway, so there are controversies, surprise, with Bitcoin. It's got a shady origin story. It involves a lot of often misunderstood technology. Oh, and it's also a load of money. You can understand why Bitcoin is controversial given those three factors. Governments have always been publicly skeptical of Bitcoin and blockchain technology in general. It's true that some outliers like El Salvador have adopted it as a recognized currency, but major economies, including Uncle Sam, to this day refuse to recognize it as what's called legal tender. And if you look at if we assume the perspective of countries and financial institutions, then we can see how this idea, the skepticism and caution, makes sense. I mean, Bitcoin potentially does a lot of things that are dangerous if you're happy, at the top of a financial or governmental regime. The citizens of your country can undermine government authority because they can kind of circumvent and skate around capital controls. Obviously, this can help launder all sorts of things. It can disguise criminal activity for sure. And then the third thing that they don't say as much out loud officially is that potentially Bitcoin and things like it could destabilize the entirety of the existing global money regime, global financial infrastructure.
And then the irony there is, for the longest time, the conversation from, like, you know, crypto bros and evangelists has been, this is an alternative to the crooked system of capitalism that is legally, you know, recognized. And, you know, you better get in while the getting's good, they say, you know, because this is going to be the only game in town before you know it. And it's, you know, don't you want to, you know, protect yourself from the ebbs and flows and the whims of the Fed and all that stuff?
Yeah,
sure you do. Because
this,
right?
Thing's so stable, man. It's crazy.
It's its own thing.
It's bedrock, it's baby.
It's not going to follow any of those trends, right?
Well, that's the idea. But and that's the question. How long can this thing last, right? It could just be another currency-related bubble. This has definitely happened in the past with numerous things identified as currency by one civilization, culture, or another. From day one, there were plenty of critics who were certain that Bitcoin would eventually come crashing down. And now it appears they just might be correct. What are we talking about? We'll tell you after a word from our sponsor.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On-demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
Yeah. here's where it gets crazy.
Bitcoin crashed. Whew.
Boy, what a free fall.
But like, so did the stock market, you know, I mean, it's what we were talking about earlier. I think there's I don't know if there's a direct connection, but it certainly casts a little bit of question into this whole notion that Bitcoin is bulletproof and crypto is its own thing, unconnected to the rest of the economy. Because these two things kind of happened in tandem, you know? I mean, we haven't experienced a full crash or a full recession, but it sure feels like we're heading that way.
But the stock market isn't a currency, right? If the statement was the dollar crashed, right, that would be applicable to what's going on here, right? There's a difference. It feels like you're buying some kind of commodity, some kind of, you know, shares or stock when you're buying Bitcoin, I think, the way it feels when you've got it because it's worth so much real world money. But it is in itself a currency. That's why it's weirding me out, because we do think about it as a stock market going up and down, but in reality is the value of a currency.
But the value of like traditional currencies, they don't ebb and flow the way cryptocurrencies do.
No.
Cryptocurrencies ebb and flow much more like stocks. And I believe are treated more speculatively in the way that stocks are often treated. That's why I think they're sort of in the middle. Like they're related, but different. But I see exactly what you're saying, Matt.
And so this brings us to another important issue. I want to paint the scene here. So cast your memory back. By the end of 2021, Bitcoin itself had fallen 30% from its peak. Its peak was about $69,000, $70,000 per coin, and it fell down to $47,686.81. Ethereum, which is sort of the Pepsi to the Coca-Cola here, also fell 23% to $3,769.70. And throughout a lot of January, much of late January in 2021, through, let's call it late April, cryptocurrency in general struggled. And Bitcoin was swinging back and forth, you know, Edgar Allan Poe pitting the pendulum style. Sometimes it was 35,000, sometimes it was 48,000. And now, look, if you're an investor, this is your what the F moment. But before anyone panics, we have to note that Bitcoin value has fluctuated before. To your point, Matt, about treating something as a currency via an investment, it would be weird if an investment did not fluctuate to some degree. The crypto market, in fact, has fallen by 50% or more on four different occasions, including the current crypto winter of 2021-2022. But is a little different now, because back in the day, for a long time, Bitcoin was 95% of the crypto market until about 2013. So you could arguably just say the first crypto winter really was a Bitcoin winter. But this crash, the one you're in now, has people worried, partially because of the many other factors involved, as well as the extent, or I should say the timeline of the crash. It seems to be continuing. This is what is sometimes called a free fall. Anyway, if we go back, stay in 2021 for a second, this is the first time that a Bitcoin-associated industry announces layoffs, job cuts, April 2021, just a few days after everything goes to pot. An outfit named BitMEX lays off 25% of its employees. Let's just fast forward, 2022, crash continues. As of the month we're recording this, July of 2022, both Bitcoin and Ethereum are down by more than 60% from their peak. I want to shout out a couple of journalists in this episode. One, Tom Mitchell Hill. Tom, I love your last name, is writing at Cointelegraph and said, you know, just this past June, this means, in real terms, that more than 80,000 people who were millionaires, thanks to Bitcoin, are no longer millionaires. They're no longer in the money.
Yeah, when I first read an article from that outfit, I really thought it was Cointelegraph. Like, I really thought.
Me too.
but no, that article it's pretty intense. Can I just give you a quick rundown of those specifics there? Okay, so back on November 12th, just this is from the article by Tom Mitchell-Hill. Back on November 12th, just days after Bitcoin hit a new all-time high of around $69,000 that Ben just mentioned, a little under 109,000 Bitcoin addresses reported a balance of greater than $1 million. So an individual address, a wallet, right? So that's probably individuals, maybe a few people having multiple ones, but that's a lot of people, 109,000 who were at least $1 million worth in there. So you fast forward to today, the day we're recording this, and it says only 26,284 addresses now have holdings valued at over $1 million. So like that 80,000 people just got wiped out. That's insane to think about.
It's wild, but also think how exponential the growth was. Of course, the decline is also going to be exponential. I mean, so many of these people like made their money by getting in at the right time, and they didn't start with that much money. They invested, you know, whatever, a respectable amount, and it blossomed into this crazy amount of money. But then if the farm on those holdings, thinking it's just going to last forever, and you're leveraged against those holdings, that's something you can do with crypto. You don't ever have to cash out. A lot of people don't cash out. They just leverage against it. You can borrow against it. You know, there are exchanges or wallets, rather, like one called Nexo, that allows you to leverage your holdings into zero interest loans that then you pay back with little, you know, hits, little taxes, I guess, on your holdings. But you never actually have to cash out, because once you cash out, then you're out of the system, and then you're out of the game. So the goal for a lot of people is to stay in the system. But of course, when a hit like this happens, it's also going to be of epic proportions, you know, just like the winds were.
Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, the whales got hit as well. I'll take the hit on that one, guys, because I snuck in a tongue twister in the notes. There were, per Mitchell Hill's reporting, there were 10,587 addresses that had a minimum cash value of $10 million in November of last year. And now less than half of them are still at that level. Only 4,342 hold the same status. So quick cocktail napkin math, that's a 58% decline. And another note for anybody who likes dancing on graves, please don't be that I told you so guy to your Bitcoin friends. Give them a couple weeks. You know, they got a lot of stuff going on. And how do we know these things? Well, the reason we know them is that Bitcoin has something really interesting. There is anonymity, but you can still, due to the nature of the interactions in this ecosystem, you can see which addresses have certain amounts of coin. And right now, Bitcoin has been struggling to stay above $20,000 US per coin now. And like you said, Matt, you see the decline with the people holding a million. You see the decline with people holding more than 10 million. Now we have to ask, what happened, right? It's a question so many people are asking. And we will get into conspiratorial aspects here. But first, the best way to say it is there are a couple of factors we can point to with certitude. And there are several other factors we can guess at. First things first, I'll say this. The big boys, big fish, they wanted some more regulations. April 2021, the SEC starts swinging their mentionables around. The Securities and Exchange Commission of the U.S. says, okay, guys, pump the brakes. We need to put some regulations on these crypto agencies. And just that, just a financial superpower like the U.S. moving toward a regulatory environment made a lot of people sell off everything. I guess they were like, let's get while the getting's good. We'll support the cartel some other way. Get back into fine art. Wear our loose diamonds. All that jazz. And then there's something that I don't know how familiar this is to a lot of people, but there's something called stablecoin. Stablecoin is it's a crypto. Crypto thing that can occur in three different kind of buckets. So it's either collateralized by cryptocurrencies, it's sort of based on other crypto, or it's pegged to something like the euro or the US dollar, which means it's fiat backed. That's not a hot take. Those are fiat currencies. Or it relies entirely on algorithms to maintain supply and demand. So it picks a certain relationship to something like a dollar, and then it just modifies on the back end everything to make it maintain that value. Stablecoin is called stablecoin because, as you can imagine, the idea, the main feature of this is that it is not supposed to be subject to all the wiles and whims of the marketplace, and then that proved to be untrue. Luna Terra, a huge stablecoin, crashed, and this was such a shock to the overall financial system of crypto that when it plunged in value by 80%, It rocked the foundations of the entire crypto market. So that's one thing that happened. The stuff that was supposed to be stable turned out not to be stable in any case. And then, we said the SEC started paying interest. But in general, whether or not you're in crypto, if you live in the U.S., Uncle Sam wants you to pay interest too. Oh, what a terrible segue. No, everything's bad. Hikes in interest rates, that's huge. Like we're talking about, you mentioned earlier, Noel, the idea of a recession. Historically, if you look back in the span of modern U.S. civilization, when interest rates start rising aggressively, it is not proof, but it is definitely a sign that the Fed believes recession is on the horizon. So this hits all the investment things, most of the investment vehicles you can think of. Fed increases rates, stock market and the crypto market have this huge downfall because ultimately, they're voting on articles of faith, right? It's worth how much other people want it. So investors start selling, and this creates a bloodbath in the crypto market because the secret of crypto is the more people who are selling off stuff in a short time interval, the less and less individual Bitcoins are worth.
Yeah, it is interesting too, the link between inflation and cryptocurrency, because, in the same way a lot of folks have touted cryptocurrency to be sort of resistant to some of the market trends that we're seeing, hit the stock market and all of that. Similarly, it's been said that they're resistant to inflation. So I'm wondering, with inflation kind of going up, why aren't cryptocurrencies doing better? I know it's a lot of factors, but it is interesting, an additional thing to consider.
And then came financial troubles for a lot of the companies that handle cryptocurrencies, the ones that are actually exchanging things, that do other various things with Bitcoin, that have lots and lots of employees, because it's kind of like Netflix. If you think about a lot of cryptocurrency companies, they've been staffing up like crazy historically because there's just gains and gains and gains and gains. So they need more human beings to do more work. And then when these crashes happen, these winters come through, it gets cold and they gotta get rid of all these new people they've hired because their overhead becomes too expensive, which was the case with Celsius Network. This is one of those decentralized finance outfits, the things we've been talking about. They said they were putting a freeze on all crypto transactions, which is never good, right? That's like when you freeze the stock market because stuff's going downhill, guys. We got to stop trading.
Yeah.
Which has happened, right?
Well, again, to your point, Matt, to your beautiful point about currency versus investment, I would say a more immediate analogy, even more impactful, would be the idea of banks not allowing cash withdrawals or transfers to other financial institutions. When that happens, it's what we could rightly call bad. It's double plus ungood. So if you're banking at the Celsius Network, then this is your Wells Fargo saying, we know you have money, you just can't have it.
Because we don't have it.
Yeah, well, that's the kind of stuff that happened like during the Great Depression. that's a real bellwether of things to come.
Yeah, and post something like that where there is some kind of freeze, often, not always, as we saw with GameStop and some of the other weirdness that happened in the stock market not that long ago, but what happens after one of those is a massive sell-off, and that is indeed what occurred with the Celsius network. And there are a bunch of other companies that went through like real rocky month.
Yeah. And it's a real rocky month that appears to be going much longer than 30 days. It's a non-ending month.
I don't know if it ever resolved, but a buddy of mine had some stuff in Celsius. And I think as far as what he was getting from message boards and some maybe like more seasoned crypto people was that don't hold your breath.
Yeah, unfortunately, others would follow suit. A lot of this, really, if you look back on some of our previous work on this show, what you'll see is the danger of feedback loops, and they can happen in any financial sphere. Shortly after our good friends at Celsius make their announcement, which they, by the way, they cited as a result of a consequence of extreme market conditions. Shortly after they do this, another crypto exchange, Binance, which you've all heard of if you're involved in blockchain and Bitcoin, they do the same. But they say their freeze on Bitcoin withdrawals was, quote, due to a stuck transaction causing a backlog. And originally, they said this will take 30 minutes to fix. Spoiler, it took longer than 30 minutes. In the case of Bitcoin specifically, experts are arguing something that I agree with wholeheartedly. This is a symptom of a larger global economic climate. BBC did a great job with this. We pulled some quotes from this. They said, recession looms, inflation is soaring, interest rates are rising, living costs are biting. A little bit of accidental freestyle there. I like it. Stock markets are wobbling too, with the US S&P 500 now in a bear market, meaning that it's down 20% from where it was. And they point out, we'll just summarize this part, that as a result of this, in a more hostile financial climate, even the really big investors, like the people who don't really have jobs the way normal people do, the people who just move money around and live off the interest, they are less free with their spending and investing. And that means that if you are an ordinary investor, rank and file, you don't own a hedge fund, you're not a corporation, you're just a schmuck, then you have less money in general to invest in anything. So why would you invest in something that's not regulated, that doesn't have certain constraints? From this perspective, we see the argument becoming something like the same lack of regulation that made crypto so sexy and appealing also, for many investors, makes it too unpredictable, especially in times of austerity. Do you want to buy something that used to be $60,000, now it's $20,000, and just sort of roll the dice on whether it'll ever be $60,000 and a penny? Like, or I don't know, $20,000 and a penny might be more fair. So this feedback loop has been created. Bitcoin's value is tied to its desirability. The more people sell, whatever their reason might be, the less Bitcoin is worth. More people see the value decrease, maybe they sell as well. They cut their losses. They get out of the game. But it's too late. They're perpetuating that feedback cycle. Bitcoin has no tangible assets underpinning it. This is true. It means literally that the price is only defined by what people are prepared to buy it for. And then to your point, Matt, about dominoes falling, Coinbase later in June announced their own layoffs. They let go of 18% of their workforce. And when they did this in their announcement, they didn't just say extreme market conditions. They used the term crypto winter. And if you are interested in this, I would highly recommend reading that official statement. I thought it was transparent. I thought it was to the point. And I don't think it was good news.
No, it was terrible news. And Coinbase Global Incorporated, which is a wonderful name, isn't the only one that was laying off people. There was also Crypto.com, Gemini Trust, BlockFi Incorporated. All of these companies had huge numbers of layoffs. And, you know, just if you think about Coinbase, this is one of the biggest names out there in the crypto game. It had to lay off 18% of its workforce. 18%. 1,200 people. Like, that's a lot of layoffs.
I mean, also Crypto.com, which is probably the most recognizable one because they literally named the Staples Center after it. They had some pretty significant layoffs too.
So everybody's getting a little bit of the splashback. Actually, they're getting a bit of the splashback. And this is worrisome because with each announcement, with each decision, each layoff, each sell-off, the loop exacerbates, right? The pace quickens. And so you have to wonder eventually where the floor will be. But for many of us listening today, many of our fellow conspiracy realists, this doesn't feel like the whole explanation. You might be thinking, okay, guys, come on. What really happened? We'll pause and we'll tackle this after a word from our sponsors.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
Okay, here's a conspiracy theory. I don't know if you all have read this, but I enjoyed it. It's from Reddit. I want to shout out Juicy Juice Juice. Not spelled the way you think it sounds.
So credible.
It's fun to say.
Yes. Yeah. Juicy Juice. Soon to be Pulitzer Prize winning Juicy Juice Juice. No, seriously, I thought this was a really fascinating idea. I've been following, along with some contacts who are listening today, I've been following the whole GameStop Wall Street stonk stuff for a while now. And this conspiracy theory really interested me. The idea is Juicy Juice Juice is asking, what if crypto was purposely created to hide asset inflation, making another financial path for the US dollar to pass through, inflating new different assets? Like, what if it, the full quote, and you can see this in other media, the full quote is, crypto creates the perfect trading vehicle for a short time before becoming the scapegoat for whatever crash is coming. If this is true, it would essentially mean that crypto either became or was explicitly created to function as a scapegoat. You know, it's getting pumped up into a bubble to absorb ordinary existing inflationary pressure. That's a cool, if that's true, that's a really impressive shell game, but it's currently very difficult to prove. And it would also, let's be honest, it would require some incredibly smart, dedicated people with an insanely sophisticated level of cooperation. I haven't seen proof for it yet. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Would it take a ton of cooperation, or would it, I mean, you just think about the 07-08 crash, and that all had to do with the amount of exposure big institutions had, right? The amount of money they had invested or tied up with subprime assets and packages, right? In this case, if there, when a major, major crash happens in the stock market rather than in the cryptocurrency world, you could blame, you know, the collapse of other major investing institutions on their exposure to cryptocurrency, because we know those major institutions are investing more and more of their money into cryptocurrency, not a ton of it, right? Not enough to play the scapegoat, I don't think, but I know they are investing millions of dollars.
I mean, I think that's a valid point, Matt. The I still have some issues with this, though I think it's really clever. And I will admit a little bit of a personal bias here, because I miss the YouTube days where somebody with a name like SurfDaddy69 Whole Hand XXX would make a great point about the gold standard in the 1800s and would be able to write back and say, like, oh, that's a great point, SurfDaddy69 XXX or whatever. But Juicy Juice Juice does bring up a good, I'm going to say that name as
juice,
many
juice,
times as I
juice, can. Juice to juice. Yeah. So, God, so many permutations.
Right. Makes a good point. And I think you make a good point too there. The issue is that one would have to sort of, you can imagine the circumstances that would lead to that, but we would have to, if we were to prove that, we would just need some more. Right, which is why Juicy Juice Juice is astute when they call it a theory at this point. There's another crazy theory. I don't know how much time I want to spend on this one, but there's this idea that Russia may have added some high-octane fuel to the fire because of their central bank's statements. Russia's central bank came out not too long ago and demanded a blanket ban across the board on not only any crypto trading, but any crypto mining. They wanted to cut it off, to cauterize it, to amputate it from the system. They more or less called Bitcoin a pyramid scheme. And they said, look, if we keep messing with Bitcoin, it's going to pose a risk to the financial sovereignty of our nation. Which is funny, because you would think with all the problems Russia has been having with things like SWIFT and other parts of the global banking system, they would welcome a decentralized thing like a cryptocurrency, right? Wouldn't it logically make sense?
I mean, yeah, to me, like, I don't know. I'm not the right person. I think the whole thing is a Ponzi scheme. Hey, man, I got this magical thing. You should buy it. Oh, how much is it? I don't know. $10. Okay, awesome. And then that person, hey, check this out. Check out this thing I got. You should buy it. How much is it? Oh, I don't know. $12. Okay, great.
And it works. It works so well until you're the person at the end. But now, now we have to ask, like, why does Russia's opinion matter? You know what I mean? Like, what if Bhutan or Canada or Chile or something, what if they said, we don't like crypto? So far, the only people who have been unavowedly on board with it are El Salvador, and I hope it works out for that country. But Russia's opinion matters more than most because for a time, they were the third largest Bitcoin mining hub in the world. So if they're getting out of the game, that has a definite impact. And this is the long and short of it. These are some of the conspiracies. These are some of the true factors, the things we can prove. We have to close by asking, what does this mean for the future? For a lot of experts, a lot of what corporate America would call leaders in the space, this crypto winter, unlike the previous three, seem set to continue for some time. I found a lot of estimates that commonly projected this would last for about 2 years or so, but every reliable estimate or guesstimate about that I found at least did note it's very difficult to make a solid guess here due to all the non-crypto variables involved. You know, like, what about the role of climate change? Does that affect it? People don't know yet. And in an effort to be positive, I do want to point out this may not necessarily be all bad news. If a bunch of people get out of crypto, and then maybe that will up your chances of getting the GPUs that you wanted or getting the chips that you need or buying products that have those chips. So maybe you can get a PS5. And also, if the price of Bitcoin goes down, it's obvious there are going to be more people who might be interested in buying it while it's low. So there might be more of what are called whole coiners. I never heard that phrase before. Whole coiners just means people with one or more whole Bitcoins in their wallet. Because I think it's pretty common nowadays for people to have a percentage of a Bitcoin, yeah, right? Like, you got a little slice.
Not many have 22,000 to drop into a whole coin in one go like that. I mean, it's just weird to me because for so many individuals, crypto has become almost a retirement account. I was reading an article from The Guardian written by Ciaran Kale, and it was just discussing the real human impact, the emotional, physical impact that the crash has been having on people, because it did, at least for quite a time there, and it still does for a lot of people, seem like this is the way you could retire early. Like, take some of your whatever excess savings you make, if you've got any, and invest it in your Bitcoin wallet or your Ethereum or whatever it is wallet. And hopefully that will continue to grow until a point where you've got enough money to retire in like 5-10 years, maybe even less time than that, depending on how high the ceiling is. But
a big thing too in the, I think, maybe in the investing community in general is when in doubt, zoom out. So you know, there have been dips like this in the past, maybe not quite this so severe, but also let's remember that cryptocurrency is still a really young thing compared to like the stock market, and we certainly have seen the stock market go horrible, terrifying places over the, you know, many more years that it's been around. So you can always just look at that graph and just pull it out, and you'll see those little ebbs and flows that look much more like tiny little blips rather than huge, massive swings.
Well said, guys. This is where we're at now, and this is sort of the beginning. We may need to follow up in a future strange news segment, or maybe we come back and see if all the fears were unfounded and alarmist. Maybe we'll get to learn the real identity of Satoshi, in which case we're totally throwing the rest of our schedule out the window and trying to interview him or them or they or her or whomever used to work at the Puzzle Palace and invented this.
So, it was Vladdy Putin the whole time. Vladdy's like, no, we're getting out. Daddy, we're getting out.
Daddy Vlad's. And he said, I made my bones off this.
Yeah, I got that, what, $12 billion or however many billion dollar mansion?
Oh, gosh, yeah. And it's so, you know, okay, I don't want to judge people's taste. It's your mansion. Decorate it how you want. But there's something to be said for subtlety in aesthetic. I do want to close this out today with some. I don't know if this will be a recurring segment, or it's just a one and done, but we read so much fantastic work by so many people that Matt, Noel, Mission Control, if you all are okay with it, I'd like to do a little sound cue and an honorable mention. Our honorable mention today goes to Zoe Kleinman, who's writing over at the BBC. Yeah, Zoe had probably my favorite beginning line of all the stuff I've read in this endeavor, like over the years with Bitcoin. Zoe says, the first rule of writing about Bitcoin is don't write about Bitcoin. The story of the world's best known cryptocurrency is astonishingly fast moving, and its fans will soon line up to tell you you've got it all wrong. So there you have it. Honorable mention to Zoe.
Looking forward to the feedback, I'm sure. I've been down in this episode, and it's just, I'm sorry, reading it, maybe it is just reading about so much of this and another crash like this, specifically that Guardian article and one from Bloomberg by Emily Nicole and Olga Karif. It's just like pretty brutal. It just makes me feel like somehow, somewhere, individual humans are being taken advantage of by the hype beast that is cryptocurrency and NFTs and all this stuff that's just out there. That's just, people get so into it and they become acolytes. Noel, like you were talking about, the people who have those phrases that sound like they should be on a, you know, on a little sign in your grandmother's kitchen or something. It's like, whatever, what was it? Jump. Zoom, something about zooming.
When in doubt, zoom out.
Or like hold the, what is it? The one that's like, don't ever sell.
Diamond hands.
See, there's just like all this stuff. It's like a cult. It's like this thing that's just like, it's designed to get everybody else into your thing, to have these code words and catchphrases that make everybody else want to be a part of that thing because, oh, that's cool. I want to know what that phrase means. I want to use that phrase on a regular basis because, or at least be able to say that and not feel silly. I don't know. This whole thing is just really bothering me. Sorry, crypto fans. I just don't get it, and I don't really like it.
Well, we're going to see what develops. Right now, that's where we're at. A new crypto winter is upon society. No one's quite sure how it will pan out unless, of course, there's something they don't want you to know. But you know what we want to know? Folks, we will tell you. We want to know what you think. Is there something more to this story? Is this just the, you know, the danger of large-scale financial systems? Is someone trying to sink crypto? Those are allegations we had heard as well. We can't wait to hear your thoughts. We endeavor to be easy to find online.
We sure do. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on YouTube, and you can find us on Facebook under the handle Conspiracy Stuff on Facebook. Please feel free to join our group. Here's where it gets crazy. Share all your crypto memes with us. Really cool community there. Lots of good folks. You can also find us on Instagram, where we are Conspiracy Stuff Show.
Remember, you can pre-order our book right now. It comes out in October. The more people who pre-order, the awesomer it is for the show. If you want to support us, that is the best way to do it. We would massively appreciate it if you took that step. Book is called Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. You can find it on Amazon, everywhere else books are sold. If you don't want to read, we get it. Maybe you want to just talk with us. And if so, we've got a phone number.
The rumors are true. Also, to back up Matt, yeah, order our book. I'll say it. I'll do it. I'll put it on me. If you send me proof that you have pre-ordered the book, then I will record a thank you message and I will send it to you. You have my word on that. I don't know if it'll be a funny message, but we'll see how it goes. In the meantime, as you said, Matt, we do have a phone number. It is 1-833-STDWYTK. call in. You'll have a familiar voice telling you you're in the right place. You'll hear a beep, just like any other answering machine. And then you get 3 minutes. They're yours. Go nuts. Make of them what you will. We ask that you give yourself a cool nickname, a moniker, an alias. Let us know if we can use your name and or voice on air. And perhaps most importantly, if you have a story that needs more than 3 minutes, always feel free to write to us directly, send us ancillary links, send us videos. We are sponges. We get all of that. We read every single email we get. All you have to do is drop us a line where we are.
Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
From now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage,
Alanis Morissette,
Cage the Elephant,
Celeste Barber,
Dierks Bentley,
Janet Jackson,
Meghan Trainor,
Peso Pluma,
Sean Paul,
Sum 41, and many more.
For way less!
Grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long.
For just $25 each.
Visit livenation.com/concertweek to buy now.
That's livenation.com/concertweek to buy now.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.